So January 13th, the Powerball produced the largest lottery jackpot in the history of the world. Three tickets split the over $1.5 billion jackpot. In Tennessee, John and Lisa Robinson went public right away as the winners. They said they do not plan to quit their jobs. Lisa works in a dermatologist's office, and John works at a maintenance distribution center. They don't plan to quit their jobs, but they do plan to pay off their daughter's student loans, which they should be able to do, unless she went to an unusually expensive university. And they said that they plan to stay in their current home and not move. Now, the winner who won in Florida has 180 days to come forward and has not come forward yet. The winner in California has a year to claim the shares of the jackpot and also has not come forward. But both Florida and California require winners to be named in a news conference. So, if one of you is the Florida winner, we will eventually find out. And we will invite you to increase your pledge to the church. This recent lottery frenzy stimulated many of us to fantasize about what we would do if we won. And in my case, I decided to ask my family what each of them would do if they won. My wife, Leslie, said she would travel. She would want to go back to her favorite places that she's visited before, to New Zealand, to Edinburgh, to London, and to Paris. My 34-year-old son, whose birthday is today, he turns 34 today, says he would not quit his job as a music teacher at a high school in Maryland. He would not quit his job immediately, at least. Eventually, he said he would take a vacation to ponder the possibilities, then probably give a donation to a noble cause and invest some in a portfolio, and probably, he said, he would go back to school. He would also buy a Tesla. It's an electric car, for those of you who don't pay attention to such things. It's a very nice car. My 29-year-old son said he would, now he was the most developed and sophisticated. I don't know what that says about him compared to my other children. But he said he would make conservative investments with half of the winnings. Invest half of it. With part of the other half, he would create a foundation dedicated to providing scholarships and financial assistance to people wanting to pursue creative degrees and at public institutions. Then he said he would buy a home in a small town and that he would purchase, this would be a very small town, he would purchase all the commercial space in that small town. He would then replace every fast food and unhealthy food store with healthy, affordable places to eat. He would want the town to be in a geographically unique and interesting location. He mentioned Jerome, Arizona, or South Lake Tahoe as possibilities. My 25-year-old daughter, who works as a nanny in Boston, she said that she would backpack through as many continents as possible. She would also buy a house, and in the house there would be a freezer, and she would stock that freezer with non-dairy ice cream. She would also want a huge room in the house for all her books, and she wants a maid. I too want a maid for her. The first state to create a government lottery was New Hampshire in 1964. Now, this was pretty controversial. There was a lot of argument and fighting about this. And the leading opponent of state lotteries, the organization that led the charge to try to stop lotteries from being created, was the National Council of Churches, the national organization of Protestant churches in the United States. They argued that the lottery was a cruel tax on the poor and uneducated. Because of a poor person's desperate need for money and a poor person's lack of education, they would invest their cash in useless lottery tickets instead of buying food for their children. That was the argument of the National Council of Churches. But the churches lost this battle. These days, 44 states plus the District of Columbia are in the lottery business. A lottery offers the opportunity to study the values and the morality of people. How we spend our money is an indication of what we truly believe is important. Well, this is a participatory service this morning. I'm going to ask you four questions. If you answer yes to the questions, then I invite you to raise your hand to indicate in a very public way whether you would use the lottery for this particular purpose. The first question is this. If you won, say, $5 million in a lottery, would you go out and buy yourself a new car? How many would say yes to that question? Time to get a Tesla or whatever car you want. Well, it looks like about 20% of you would buy a new car.
We have new cars already.
Some of you already have new cars. You don't need one. Okay. In a study of 33 persons in New Jersey who were lottery winners, these persons all won at least $1 million, a researcher discovered that the first thing most of them did after winning the lottery was that they bought a new car. All but four of the 33 new millionaires bought an automobile. Usually the winners purchased large cars, usually American-made cars such as Cadillacs. One millionaire bought a Cadillac even when he found it was so big that he couldn't park the car near his home because his street was too narrow. Sadly, many lottery winners were unhappy with their new cars. They were particularly upset when they realized what low mileage they were getting, how much gas was costing them. Others complained that the cars developed mechanical problems. So in this first use of their winnings, buying a new car, the lottery did not bring most of the winners happiness. My second question, if you won $5 million, sudden wealth, $5 million, would you buy a new home? Raise your hands if the answer is yes. Okay. And again, it's probably 20%, maybe a little less. Many of you like the homes you're in. Well, in the study, 80% of the new millionaires bought a new home. Most of the winners moved to the expensive suburbs. Many winners feared that their new neighbors would look down on them, would not accept them. But these anxieties were usually unfounded. The new winners often decorated their homes in bright colors with flowing floor-length drapes, wall-to-wall carpets, and richly upholstered furniture. Often they equip the houses with modern gadgets and conveniences. A common feature of the winners' homes was a game room with a pool table and a large floor-to-ceiling fireplace. Another common feature was that they had large lots. The houses were often situated on an acre or more of land. The lottery winners who did not buy new homes spent thousands of dollars on remodeling their current home. Now, this second use of the winnings was more successful than the purchase of a new car, although some of the winners overextended themselves financially on the new homes. Two of the families spent money to construct swimming pools in their backyards, and they both said they regretted it. My third question. If you won $5 million in the lottery, would you travel to exotic lands? Would you travel? Raise your hand. Okay, this is a much larger number. So we like our houses and our cars, but we would love to travel. It looks like at least 55-60% of you raised your hand. Now, it's interesting that in this particular study, now it's a relatively small sample, but only 12 of the 33 folks who won over $1 million in New Jersey reported going on trips after winning. Only 12 of the 33. Now, two of the families went to the Poconos in Pennsylvania. You know, if you've ever been, it's really very lovely. Now, four of the families were more adventurous. They journeyed to Florida. Three of the winners took a trip to California. Four took a trip to Las Vegas. Now, trips to Europe, to Hawaii, to the Bahamas, to Mexico, the Virgin Islands, Jamaica, South America, and one all-around-the-world cruise were also taken. But only five of the 33 winners accounted for all these more exotic trips. Most winners placed much higher priority on the purchase of a new home. Although they talked about traveling to distant lands, they postponed or abandoned these plans in favor of the home purchase. The good news is that all the people who traveled reported that they enjoyed themselves. For example, a high school janitor said, "After I won, we took a vacation. We drove up to Nova Scotia, and we went to Prince Edward Island. It was the nicest vacation we ever had." We have a couple folks from Canada visiting today. So I've taken that trip, and it is quite lovely. Fourth question. Fourth and last question. If you won $5 million in the lottery, would you give a large amount away to your children, your parents, or, say, to your religious community? Now, I combined family and church here so that I wouldn't be taking any big risks with this question. So if you won $5 million in the lottery, would you give a large amount to your children, your parents, or your religious community? Please raise your hands if the answer is yes. Oh, this is wonderful. Thank you all. It's more people raise their hands on that question than any other. That's great. Thank you. The good news for our relatives, our churches, and synagogues is that the answer of the new millionaires to this question was a strong yes. After purchasing new homes, the second biggest use of money was to give it away. Winners' children were the primary recipients. They gave to their children. Those with younger children set up trusts for their children's college education. Other winners gave money to their older children for down payments on homes. And the younger winners, who had parents still living, gave money to their parents. Most winners received satisfaction from giving to their families, although one winner complained that she was suddenly receiving many invitations to attend weddings from family, extended family. "I go to the weddings," she said, "and I routed a check for $5,000 as a wedding gift. Still, I know from experience that the couple is always disappointed." The study discovered that most winners experience great joy and satisfaction giving to their religious communities. Should I read that again? The study discovered that most winners experience great joy and satisfaction giving to their religious communities. Some of them tithe and gave as much as 10% of their winnings to support their church or their synagogue. The stories of the lottery winners illustrate that when we make changes in our lives, when something wonderful happens, like we suddenly have this huge new wealth, we don't stop having problems. But if it's a good change, we trade our old problems for problems that are a lot more interesting. For example, all the lottery winners got phone calls from people asking for money. All of them in the study had to get private lines almost immediately after they won. A woman described one phone call. She said a man, a stranger, called her at 2 a.m. He said he needed money for his house closing the next morning. I said, "Do you know what time it is?" And he said, "That's all right, I'll be right over." This is what we call narcissism. Now, none of the 33 winners in the study gave any money to strangers. Another winner said, "The money created tensions in my family." She said, "I was at my sister's house and her faucet was dripping. I said, 'Your faucet's leaking, you ought to have that fixed.' My sister said, 'Well, if I had your money, I would fix it.'" Giving away money is one of the surest ways to increase happiness for lottery winners. But there is, of course, no joy in being harassed by people who are constantly asking for money. Of all the complaints heard by the lottery winners, however, it was taxes that were the biggest problem. Taxes. Most winners do not realize that although the government in all the ads for the lottery promises millions of dollars, that in reality, the federal government will take about 40% in federal income tax before you even get your check from the lottery commission. And in some states, the state income tax is up to 8%. Now, this encounter with the IRS left most winners bitter and politically alienated. They felt the government had sold them the promise of instant wealth. Buy this ticket, win, and we'll give you all this money. The taking of taxes by the same government makes the promise of wealth feel empty. And actually, this is not the practice in all countries. 9 countries, including Australia, Canada, Ireland, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom, pay out a lump sum immediately, tax-free, to their lottery winners. As you can see, winning the lottery is a mixed blessing. There is harassment from strangers, conflicts with friends and relatives, and there are tax problems. For some, winning is like being given the Midas touch. Suddenly, everyone they have contact with sees them not as a person, but as a source of money. Winners' feeling of well-being dipped slightly. Their sense of well-being went down slightly the year after they won the prize. dealing with their neighbors, their relatives, with the tax laws, all these decisions in the first year caused them to be less happy than they had been before they won. It was an adjustment. They also, many of them felt anxiety and guilt, guilt that perhaps they did not actually deserve to win. Now, for those of us who have not won the lottery, it is tempting to see these problems as proof that we are happier without all the difficulties that sudden wealth creates. Nevertheless, when asked, none of the lottery winners regretted having won. None of them wanted to give the money back. Even those who had negative experiences felt that the winnings had given them security, relieved them of some financial burdens, and provided an opportunity to start anew with their lives. The feelings of anxiety, the feelings of guilt felt in the first few months after winning, they faded. Winners' feelings of well-being, feelings of happiness and contentment, was significantly higher 2 years after winning than it had been before they won. Only 2% of the winners said they were less happy. Contrary to popular beliefs, winners did not engage, in general, in lavish spending sprees. Most of them refrained from splurging. They preferred to save or invest the prize money, and most reported being quite content with the way they managed things. Overall, winners were well-adjusted, secure, and generally happy from the experience. Now, if I were to win $5 million in the lottery, how would I spend it? Three thoughts come to my mind. First, I would take that gradual payout of 20 years or so instead of the lump sum. Then I would give 5% of that income to this church. And I would give an equal gift to Starking School for the Ministry, the seminary that I attended in the 1970s, which made a decisive impact on my personal life. Secondly, I would spend money to travel, to visit the places in which my members of my family had expressed interest. One of my favorite times of the year is August in Edinburgh. I'd like to go to the Edinburgh festivals again of art and music and theater and books. Third, I would offer to pay for graduate degrees for my adult children, if they are interested. I would not just give them money. I would be happy, however, to pay for more education for all three of them. Lotteries are a big deal. Americans spend $70 billion on lotto games in 2014. That's $300 for each adult in America. Research on who purchases the tickets shows that for many people, the lottery is not what the lottery people say. Well, it's just a form of cheap entertainment, but research shows that that's not the case for many people. It is instead an attempt to escape poverty. The poorest third of Americans buy half of all the lotto tickets. Lotto revenues come from low-income players and from heavy bettors. To pay for government services, states are helping their most hopeless citizens become addicted to gambling. In an age of rising income inequality, state governments raise revenue by exploiting the desperate hope of their poorest residents. So if I could wave a magic wand and change the lottery laws, I would return the country to the way it was in 1963, when there were no state lotteries and every state but Nevada criminalized most gambling. A fair tax to support our government, a fair tax is a graduated income tax. It is the moral way to fund government services. Well, I will work in the political system to encourage changes in which I believe. Meanwhile, I will never win the lottery, not only because the odds of winning are enormous, but also because I have never bought a lottery ticket. I'm content to find inexpensive ways to make my life interesting and exciting. So I enjoy the beauty of living in Florida. I can look around at the beauty. It doesn't cost me anything. I have hobbies like bike riding on the Legacy Trail and taking photos in Mayaca State Park, visiting the birds and the alligators, which do not try to kill me, at least so far. I can enjoy the culture of Sarasota. For very little money, there is the wonderful West Coast Black Theater. There is the wonderful music each week at our worship services. There is baseball spring training in only a month. It's coming in March. And of course, there is our auction, which offers many opportunities for adventure. I can take advantage of all of it. And I might even go up to Boston and take my daughter out for ice cream.